Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing. Share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances. But most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Sawubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Thank you all for joining us on this Wednesday edition of The Female Solution. And we'll be right back with our co-host, Kareem Hamid, as we talk about
your ex? When is it appropriate to invite them to a family gathering? These issues come up during this holiday season because in families where there has been a divorce, this is a painful time. When one of your parents is not at the dinner table, not included in the celebration, do you invite your ex if they're going to be all alone, especially if it would make the children feel better? We'll talk about that in just a moment. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Naima Latif. Join me and my co-host Kareem Hamid every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our hosts. Or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/the-female-solution.
And we are back, and I believe we are joined with our co-host and our American Muslim 360 family, Grand Rising, and assalamu alaikum to our co-hosts and listeners. And if you are joining us online, you can give us a call, 515-605-9325. You're ready.
Because your dad was the first person to show how a young
and
person treated.
And we are
Assalamu alaikum, Naima.
We are so grateful to have you and our American Muslim 360 family joining us today. This is a difficult time for a lot of people trying to navigate what to do in family gatherings, especially if they're has been a divorce. A lot of families feel the pain of the breakup during these times when the season is supposed to be so family-oriented. So we've asked the question today, regarding family gatherings, when should you invite your ex? Now, this conversation comes as a result of a number of situations that I've observed and discussed and even had people being highly upset about because they feel like once a relationship is over, it's over, even if there are children involved. And I've had an opportunity to see it from all sides, from the side of both the person who has ended a relationship and, you know, they and their children are going to be
gathering with the family and celebrating. And I've seen it from the point of view of the person who was excluded. You know, they're no longer in the family, even though their children are going to be somewhere. And they're going to be pretty much all alone because they're feeling the absence of everyone after the relationship ended. It's like their life ended. As a matter of fact, my friend, the way he described it was, I lost my family. And that was how it felt. His first big holiday without his family, he was really feeling the loss and the sadness. And even, you know, sounding like, well, I don't really have a reason to live anymore. And that was painful to hear, especially because we're seeing suicide around the holidays increase. And sometimes it has to do with this feeling of loss, especially if a relationship has ended. And with the loss of it, so many other things are lost. The joy of your children, the relationship with your in-laws, and all the things that come with being a part of a family. So, yes, we know the relationship is over, but does that mean every tie needs to be severed all the time? And is there times when you invite an ex? I've had a situation where there was a family gathering and an ex was invited. And the people were happy to see the ex, but the spouse was not pleased that the ex had been invited and was angry and saying, well, why would you bring him here? You know we're not married anymore. But the children all love him, and the in-laws still love him, and it just didn't feel right him not being there. But it was not approved by the former spouse. And yet, how do you feel excluding someone who used to be part of the family, especially if your feeling is, well, you know, you divorced and we didn't. So, I mean, how do you handle the dynamics of that? And I invite people to call in and give us their experiences with that, whichever side of the equation you might have been on, 515-605-9325 or 515-605-9325. 9891, and make sure you press 1 to let the host know you have something to say. We'll gladly open your mic and get your thoughts. But Kareem, what are your thoughts about that? Have you ever had that question come up based on the fact that, you know, marriage is in, but relationships with other people in the family may have not ended?
All right. Yes, very important subject matter here. You know, to feel like you no longer belong, or you feel worthless or devalued because of a divorce, and the mother and father are not together in the framework of the nuclear family. You know, family, if someone feels like that, they need to expand their understanding of what family means, what family is. You still have, especially if you still have a mother, you have a father, and you have siblings, you know, brothers and sisters, the connection with them still keeps you in a family setting, in a family
right.
setting. I would suggest that, let's say I'm invited to a family gathering on my wife's side of the family. See, there are two sides to every family. There's
right.
the family of the female and the family of the male.
Yeah.
So I think that needs to be respected, you know, be honest about inviting your ex. Now, if you are broad-minded, then you have your side of the family also. And there's Thanksgivings and other celebrations and family gatherings, especially family reunions. So I think that everyone's feelings need to be shared and expressed. But when you've got children, you know, when you have children, invite your children to your side of the family gatherings. If you are invited to your spouse's side of the family, I think that she needs to be considered as to how she feels about that. We cannot just shut that aside and say, oh, well, she just have to suck it up. No, they were bonded. They were together. I mean, they were in a sacred union. And how he or she feels about that needs to be considered and respected. But above all, keep the ties between yourself and your children, be it male or female. Make sure that those bonds are strengthened and that they know that you love them and you are still a major part of their life. But I do believe that the feeling of the ex-spouse has to be considered. And I believe it needs to be honored. It needs to be honored. So, but because a marriage breaks up, that does not remove you from out of that unit called family. You were part of a family before you became married, you know? But I still say that how the two principals feel about it, the spouse and the husband, needs to be considered. I'll stop right there, my sister.
You know, that's interesting because a lot of times, especially, say, after a marriage, maybe a person may move away to a different city, relocate, and be with their spouse's family. And then if the marriage ends, they may not still be connected to their families. They may have distanced themselves with their own personal family in favor of a marriage, you know, and being with someone else. And I've seen that happen a lot where someone meets someone who is from another city or even another country, and they relocate, and they basically have made a decision, an expectation that their life is now going to be with their spouse and their spouse's family. But things don't work out, and there they are in this new place, new city, maybe even new country, because they relocated to be with their spouse and their spouse's family. And women do this more than men. I mean, men do it maybe if they didn't have that close a tie with their family, but women do this a lot. And so they've severed more or less their family connections in terms of being close to them physically, you know, in the same physical location, because they were expecting to now be a part of their husband's family. And if the marriage ends, they have nothing. It's a painful situation if the children are then feeling disconnected from this big, vast group of people. So maybe grandma wants to see them for the holidays. Well, how's grandma going to have the grandchildren come, or grandpa going to have the grandchildren come, if the mom of the children can't come because she's no longer the daughter-in-law? I mean, it could get real messy. I've seen that happen, where someone will have the children come and their mother's not invited. And how sad is that? But then for the children to feel like, well, we can't come to grandma and grandpa's to celebrate anymore. Yeah, well, you can come, but no, she can't come. She's not in the family. I see that a lot. And usually nobody can figure out how to handle that because, like you say, okay, if she comes, well, now he's remarried. How's the new wife going to feel if the ex is still part of the family? I've seen it happen where the family, and as a matter of fact, I had a friend that was very angry about this. The family was disappointed at the breakup. They really liked her. The marriage was over. He had another woman he was planning to marry, and he invited her to the family dinner. And the ex shows up, and it was clear that the family was very strongly attached to the ex. And the new, you know, hoping to be wife was feeling kind of put off, like, you all just disrespect me. I'm thinking I'm getting ready to get into this family, and you all really don't want me. You still want her. You can't make him go back to her. But she was feeling like the family was so welcoming to the ex and the children, and she was feeling like the outsider, even though she was the one that the man was currently seeing and had brought to the dinner, and so they could all, you know, feel his new relationship. And it was a very awkward situation for my friend, who was the new woman in his life. She was very angry and felt that it was one of those things that the potential mother-in-law had arranged to maybe even, you know, throw a monkey wrench in their relationship. You know, and I just say, well, if you all get married, that's probably not going to end. If she really loved her daughter-in-law and her daughter's no longer her legal daughter-in-law, you know, you can't tell her, well, you can't have that emotion anymore. She's not in the family. They got divorced. She has the relationship that she has. And, you know, you have to think about that. Is your feeling included necessary for your marriage to work? Because if it is and that never happens, what are you going to do? How are you going to handle it if the ex is always there? I mean, she's attached to the children he has anyway, so she's not going to be gone ever. Can you handle that emotionally? You know, can you make friends with the ex? You know, no, I don't want to be her friend. We ain't got nothing to talk about. What I want to be her friend for? Okay, well, then there you have it. You have this situation that you're involved with a man whose family is attached to his former wife. You know, they've been married over a number of years, and that isn't going to disappear. How do you handle the fact that she's present and probably going to always be present? Can you demand that she not be invited? You know, and how will that affect the children, knowing that you said their mother can't come? I mean, I don't know. I don't know the etiquette of these things because, like I said, I've seen it from both sides, you know. I've seen it from the side of the mother-in-law who felt bad that the daughter-in-law that she loved was no longer in the family, and she wished that they could patch things up, but it just wasn't going to work. And she felt bad that she was losing someone she felt had been a daughter to her. So she wanted her to be present. I mean, I've seen it from all sides. So you think, well, whose feelings matter most? Yeah, I've seen it from the side of the children. You know, they feel they don't want to come someplace and their mother's at home alone, or, you know, sitting home watching TV by herself and not invited. They feel bad. So, I mean, it's all of that. And these are the things that come up during these times because there are a lot of families where marriages, you know, relationships are broken. There are children, there are family traditions that are now disrupted. Somebody's going to be excluded. You know, it's hard to say, well, can we all just get along and all celebrate together for at least for the sake of the children? Because the adults don't want that. Not all of them. So whose feelings are most important in that situation? Are the spouses important? Are the ex-spouses important? Are the children, are the, you know, person hosting the gathering, say if it's the parents and they want everybody to be there, whose feelings matter the most when you make those decisions? What do you think?
Well, you know, if you are aware of how your new spouse, your new wife, how she is made to feel, and you are aware of that, when someone feels a thing, that is their reality.
Mm-hmm.
I would suggest, like, let's say it was me. Everyone loved my former wife, and I have a new wife now. If my wife, sometimes she won't have to say a thing. I can, you know, see it.
You can feel it, yeah.
Because I am your son, I'm going to speak to you about the welcoming spirit that I would like for you to have for my new wife. You know, you have to speak directly to principles, the subject matter, that I don't believe that, you know, this is my choice as my wife. I'm your son and I love you. And I have made a different choice in my life concerning a marriage. She is or will be your daughter-in-law. And bear in mind, I am your son. I am your son. So be conscious of my feelings also, because I'll always be your son. And I'm asking you thank God you still love my ex-wife. You have history with her, but give this new wife a chance also to develop a close bond and history with her. I'm telling you how it makes me feel and how it makes her feel as your son. So, you know, and hopefully the parents will be, sometimes they will do that unconsciously, because it's natural to gravitate to that which you are familiar with. That's human. But when brought to the conscious mind, you know, then you speak to that. And if they love you, then they can somewhat reach an equal, you know what I'm saying, the midway point of still loving your ex-wife and welcoming your new choice as a wife. So that's I'm for speaking direct and to the point, not wishing a thing to be and all of that. No, speak direct and a word to the right. First, I am your son and I love you. Now, this is how you are, how maybe unconsciously you are making my new.
Mm-hmm.
And if they are woke, if they are truly conscious, and they say, oh, I really didn't intend for that. You know, I love so-and-so, your ex-wife, but I can also love and grow in affection with your new wife also. We'll somewhat watch that. That's all. That's what I would do. I would speak directly to the point, because I am somewhat protective of how my wife feels, not just food, clothing, shelter, and all of those, but how she's made to feel, you know. So that's how I would handle that. Speak with the parents. And also, love your children and speak with them about your relationship with your new wife, you know, with your new wife, and that you will always love their mother. But that marriage has ended. I will always love her. She is the mother of my children. But now I have a new wife, and she loves you also. And I hope that you can, you know, you can grow closer to her, and y'all share that sacred bond of love between parent and child. These things have to be spoken to. You can't just ignore them. They are real, and they will grow if not spoken to, if there's not intelligent conversation had. So it's very important. I would speak with my parents. I would. Now, this is how my wife is made to feel. You know, I would. Because, as I say, if sometimes it's done unconsciously, they may not mean any harm, but they are unconscious of how they have made or making your new wife feel. I'll stop right there, my sister.
Yes, yeah. Sometimes it's unconscious, and they don't even think about it. And you're right, if it's not talked about openly, then things will just continue, and you'll just have an angry person on your hands when you get home, and because you're going to feel the anger of her hurt, and she'll also be angry that she didn't feel like you stood up for her feelings. So you do get the backlash of that. But we got to take a break, and when we come back, we want you to give us your opinions about that. There are a lot of families that are going through, okay, who do we invite for dinner? Do we invite this person? What about that person? How will the children feel? And are there some people who just can't get along, so you just can't have them both at the same gathering? And what about if someone is dating someone, do they have preference over someone who is an ex but was officially in the family, whereas this new person is just a possibility? Who do you give preference to? We'll talk about that, and give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 when you're ready to speak, or you can make your comments on our Female Solution Facebook page or our YouTube channel. Just go to Facebook or YouTube and type in The Female Solution and write in your comments. What do you think? Family gatherings, when should you invite the ex? We'll be right back after this quick break, so stay with us.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
Tune in to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn it into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibration. Shalom.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solution Show. Call in and comment 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak.
Listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, along with our co-host Kareem Hamid and our American Muslim 360 family, who joins us every Wednesday morning on the Female Solution. So we want you to call in 515-605-9325 or 515-605-9891. And press 1, let the hosts know that you have something to say. We've asked a question about family gatherings. When should you invite your ex? This is a very sensitive topic. A lot of people get depressed on the holidays, especially if there has been a death and if there's been a divorce, if there's been anything that changes what used to be a happy time, if it becomes a time of sorrow because now the family is broken. It's not going to be the same. Maybe children are distressed because they've been trying to navigate how to deal with celebrations at mom's, celebrations at dad's, and seeing the grandparents, and maybe not seeing the grandparents because now they're no longer connected with those parents, with that parent's parents, and maybe there's bitterness after the divorce. So this is a difficult decision, especially when people choose to break up. And a lot of times it depends on the age of the children. But breakups are always very painful because the children are seeing an end to the happy times, the family unity. So unless it was a real nightmare, you know, or maybe there was a lot of fighting or violence or hurtful things said and done and there was no real joy, usually children are pretty sad over a breakup. They usually they want their parents to just make up, like you said before, you know, why can't you all just make up? Why can't you just forgive? Why can't we be a family? You know, so it's very distressing for children. And no matter how old the children are at the time of the divorce, there's still extreme emotional pain and a feeling of brokenness when your family splits. And everybody's family is dysfunctional on some level. But whatever the dysfunction is, it's your family. And if you've grown up with it, you accept it for whatever it is. And so when it ends, it's distressing and it makes you feel like there's a part of you missing. So during holidays, when someone really is missing, when mom's not there, dad's not there, their side of the family's not there, the big family gatherings, and if you've come from a family where family is a big thing, that can really be hurtful. But now, I've got a question. What about someone who may come from a family where family really wasn't that big a deal? And maybe they didn't particularly value being a part of the family gatherings. And if you're involved with that person in a relationship, they have the attitude of, well, you're no longer married to them, or they're no longer connected with you, or I don't care to know your family, or whatever the case may be, but you're with somebody who doesn't want to participate in maybe something that's important to your family. And maybe the person you were married to, they were more family-oriented, but now you're with somebody who isn't. And they say, well, why don't we just spend a nice, quiet evening alone? And you really would rather go and be with your family. And maybe they don't really have a family, so they don't get it. They don't understand how important it is. Can that be a deal breaker if someone isn't into family gatherings and maybe you were and, you know, maybe you really liked them, but that's one thing that they didn't have is that desire to be with the extended family. How do you handle that? So, Kareem, have you ever had that situation where you know, you're with somebody and they didn't really want to be with your family, and so it's kind of like, well, and or either, so you end up having to make the decision, either you go to events alone and make an excuse, oh, well, she wasn't feeling well or whatever, but it's kind of like they just didn't want to be bothered with your family. How do you handle that?
Well, you know, for real. When that's a true doubling down on reality, for real.
Yeah.
If you are trying to sever my family ties, you are trying to sever my relationship with my blood relations. That is a very, very serious matter. You know, let me say this. You know, we say, forsaking all others and till death do us part. There are some issues that are deal breakers.
Mm.
There are some things that should not be tolerated. Just because you are my wife, you do not have the right to try to separate me from I spent my lifetime with my family. Now, you know, I regret that you feel this way, but there are occasions where I want to be around my family, and I'm letting you know right now, I will be at those events. How you feel about your family, I hope you can repair that. But this is my family, and you are a part of my family. When we became married, you became a part of my family, and I became a part of yours. And I will not allow you to sever the blood relationship I have with my family. You know, for real, I would, you know, I dare you. You know, I dare you. for and truly look at who is this? You know, who is this? Wait a minute. What have I done here? You know, now whatever problems that she may have with her or family, hopefully they can repair that. And if I can be of any help in that effort, I'm willing to do that. But I will not allow anyone to separate me from my blood relations, spouse or no spouse. That's a very sacred, the ties of blood relationship. God calls it the mystical ties. There's something sacred about it, the mystical ties of blood relationship. Matter of fact, my last wife was somewhat estranged from her family. And I, in my own way, I worked to strengthen those family bonds. In my own way, I worked to somewhat, and believe it or not, it worked. It worked. Those severed ties, they weren't completely severed, but they had become real loose, you know?
Right, yeah.
And, in the end, I mean, let me say this. Because they were so impressed by me, and I give all praise to Almighty God. I give all praise to Almighty God. The qualities that they saw in me was expressed from out of my religious choice. And they were very impressed with how I carried myself and stuff like that. They were happy for her. And through that, they came together. There was a closeness created because you have to be the model and demonstration of what you desire, you know, be the best of yourself. And they were so over time, and I even spoke with her, what part did you play in this, you know? What part did you play? And through honest conversation and being around them and appreciating them and expressing how I appreciated them, their family, they tightened their bonds with her. For real, I had my own strategy, my own ways of doing that. And those loose ties were tightened. I mean, they were truly tightened, praise be to God. And so we have to be what we want. We have to be what we profess. Be that. We never know who we are influencing, you know? Who we are influencing. So I can honestly say, through Almighty God's grace and his mercy, their family bonds with her was truly tightened. They expressed their love for her and she for them. I'll just stop right there. There's more to be said on that, but be what you desire.
Well, I think that is definitely a necessity. If you come into a relationship with someone who may be having strained family relationships, if you can, add to the peacemaking process. Because a lot of times people are still hurt over ancient things that happened way back in childhood or years ago or decades ago.
That's right.
Still holding grudges. And they just need a neutral party to perhaps bring the two sides together. Sometimes you can do that. Sometimes you just have to stay out of it, you know, because it can just be so intense. And that's hard, too, when you just have to let it be what it is. I've seen a lot of families where that's just, you know, this half doesn't like that half, or this person doesn't like that person. This person's still mad because of, You know, were you a mom's favorite? Were you a dad's favorite? Were, you know, all these kind of things carrying on into adulthood. And so people can't get along. And it's a sad thing because, you know, we talk about world peace, but if you can't have peace within your world in your living room, how are you going to have anything outside of that? Community, city, state, nation, world, anything else? If you can't learn the mechanics of reconciliation between adults who are still upset over something, some real or imagined wrong that happened, and as a result, they can't form a bond of familyhood. And that's what makes it hard, I think, when children live through a divorce. Because what do you learn about resolving conflict? And it's not to say that people should never get divorced. I don't believe in that. I know that people have really ruined their lives staying for decades in a relationship that was harmful emotionally, sometimes even physically, and believing that it's a sin to divorce, a sin, you know, God's going to punish you. Well, you know, if two people have either changed or discovered the worst in them and each other, and they realize they can't stand the worst part of them, they can't do the for better or for worse, they can't do for worse, they just can't take you anymore. So if you have to end it,
I'm a
you know, that's better.
I'm aware of a marriage whereby the husband was so physically abusive toward his wife. The children asked her, "Mama, when are you going to leave him?"
Ooh.
You know, they were encouraging her to leave him. He was just that abusive. It wasn't like they say, "Oh, well, you know, I hate y'all broke up." No, they were encouraging her.
"Mama, please leave."
Yeah, please leave. I'll just stop right there. It can be just that bad, whereby children
I
say,
have
"Mama,
seen that too.
How long are you going to put us through this?"
I have seen that too. And what I've seen is that the woman will stay because she doesn't have the confidence that she can take care of herself, even though the children are saying, "Please leave." And she's feeling like, "Oh, you don't understand. You know, he pays the bills. I don't have the skills. You know, there's food on our table. We got a roof over our heads. And, you know, how are we going to survive out here homeless?" I mean, she's thinking all these other things that she just doesn't see a way out. And the children are like, "Look, we'd rather be in the street than live in this place and see you get beat all the time." I have seen those kind of relationships. But it always comes down to the woman's fear of not being able to take care of herself. And that's what makes people stay in abusive relationships. There's no reason to stay other than you don't believe you have the ability to take care of yourself. We got a couple of comments here on our Facebook page. Viata is joined us saying, "Grand Rising, sister." Thank you so much. She says, "Thanks for shining your light in every season." Oh, thank you so much. You're so wonderful. And our dear brother, Curtis Kojo Morrow, says, "Hey, Naima, just a note to wish you the best." Well, we wish you all the best, Curtis Kojo Morrow. Yes, our great war veteran who's a world traveler and historian and artist and photographer and all those wonderful things. Continue to shine your light. And then our sister Zelda says, "Grand Rising. If you want drama in the family, exes showing up is a chance you take." Yes. Because that can be some real made-for-TV drama, especially if the ex shows up uninvited. It's kind of bogarts their way into the gathering, and nobody has the courage to ask them to leave, and their presence is upsetting, you know. I've seen those kinds of things happen, too. But, yes, I think when the marriage broke up because there was abuse, children don't feel bad if that abusive person doesn't come around anymore, because you know, their presence creates stress. You know, they're known to get violent, especially if they got a drinking problem. And, you know, they got that Jekyll and Hyde thing going. They're wonderful when they're sober, horrible when they're drunk. You don't know what they might do. You know, nobody wants that person present. When they're gone, it's like a good riddance. Hey, if they're somewhere, you know, on Skid Row, that's on them. No, don't bring them. And which is sad because, you know, people do have problems and they probably need to get counseling or help, but usually people with problems won't get counseling or help. That's why they still got the problem. And you do feel bad for a person who is alone because they're at such a rock bottom place in their life. Say you've got, maybe your ex is the drug addicted family member, the alcoholic, you know, the person who is so dysfunctional, their presence creates drama and ruins every gathering. So you can't have them present, even though you care about their well-being and you feel bad that they have to be excluded. But, you know, if you try to invite them, you know they're going to bring the drama because of whatever their personal situation is. And every family has one. Every family has somebody that is dysfunctional, and you try to love them anyway, but they are dysfunctional. How do you handle that? Do you exclude that person from your gathering? Do you give them one more chance to come and stay sober? Do you tell them, look, if you come here drunk, we're not letting you in, or you come here high, we're not letting you in, you know, or if they're with somebody who's dysfunctional. Yeah, you can come, but you can't bring your drunk wife. Yeah, you can come, but you can't bring your drunk husband. You know, how do you handle that when there is a person who is married to someone that the family does not want present? Can you invite half a couple? You know, that's a tricky situation. So how would you handle that if you've got a family member, you love them, but they're with somebody who's just horrible, and you want the children to come, but you know that spouse is just out of order? How do you invite someone and tell them their spouse is not invited?
You know, Naima, it is what it is. You know, we can wish a thing to be a certain way. But when someone shows you or tells you who they are, believe them. Believe them. Why would I invite chaos into my family gathering? Why would I do that? You know, especially if it's been tried and tried and tried, and every time this person's ruins the whole environment, ruins the whole spirit. Why continue to invite? You are inviting hellfire into your own life. No, I wouldn't do that. You, for real. You know, I can love you where you're at. I can love you from a distance. You can be whoever you are, but you can't be it all over me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I can love you where you are, but I'm not going to place all of us in an uncomfortable situation because of, you know, your aberrant behavior. No, that's not going to happen. The group is more important than the individual.
Mm.
No doubt about that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there are some people
that have done some things. You know, I mean, it's not that they clown once, that's repeatedly.
That's the way they are.
Yeah.
Yes.
Accept that. I can love him right where he is or she is, but I
over
don't have
there.
To invite them in my world. That's right. I want peace. Peace.
Yeah.
That's the word.
Well, that's the thing. But we got to take another break. If you're on our switchboard, feel free to press 1 and tell your story. You don't have to name names, or you can if you want to. That's all right. People know what they did. But, you know, we're looking at but we're looking at a time where we really want to promote peace and love and family unity and all that. But some situations just make it impossible to include everybody. So how do we handle that? Is it possible to use this time to mend fences? Yeah.
Yeah. At this time, I want to wish my Christian family, may they have a wonderful, peaceful season's greetings. I look forward to spending time with my family, and I hope that we all can join as one and enjoy one another. So season's greetings to my Christian brothers and sisters and my Jewish brothers and sisters also.
Yes.
I want to extend that greeting.
Well, that's so beautiful. So may you enjoy your Christmas, your Hanukkah, and of course we've got, for those who want a cultural celebration afterwards, Kwanzaa, you know, whatever the season, the occasion. We want it to be peaceful, I agree. So how can we make peace when perhaps there has been conflict? Well, we'll talk about more of that when we come back from this quick break. If you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1. So we know you have something to say. We can open your mic and get your thoughts. And if you are watching us on Facebook Live on the Female Solution Facebook page, feel free to write in your comments. We'll share them with our listening and viewing audience. And if you're on our switchboard now, either 515-605-9325 or 515-605-9891, press 1. We want to hear your voice and hear your thoughts about how we handle family gatherings and some people who may not be welcome. We'll be right back after this quick break, so we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment, so stay with us.
Okay. Taxes are higher than ever. Every day, thousands of our residents leave Chicago to shop in Indiana. Jobs are being lost, and businesses are relocating. Let's find a way to lower our taxes to encourage residents to continue living and shopping in our city. Let's rebuild. Let's restore Chicago. Vote for me, for mayor of the city of Chicago, and I will work hard to find solutions that matter. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson.
Kids are the future and should not be left behind. One person should not decide what is the best for our 77 communities. Politicians must work together for our kids' best interests. They deserve a safe education with resources that meet every student need. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Communities and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves. But I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 communities. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
Thank you.
By Willie.
And let us do one more.
What if you could live to be 120 years old and remain active, healthy, alert, and vibrant? Our bodies are made up of cells that are constantly rejuvenating. So if we take proper care of our cells, we can literally defy aging. Join us every Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time to learn about cell care from Susan Essentials on the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio Show. Learn how to help your body and yourself feel rejuvenated each day through proper nutrition, sleep, frequency medicine, and many unconventional methods of self-care. I'm Jody Susan. Join me and my amazing guests by calling in at 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. We'll help you achieve a breakthrough in your health today.
Executive producer and host of today's Wednesday show.
Unmuted.
Along with our co-host Kareem Hamid and our American Muslim 360 family is joining us live on Blog Talk Radio as we take a look at this week's question about family gatherings. When should you invite your ex? Well, sometimes the ex might not be a problem. Sometimes it's the current spouse that's a problem. And maybe you love the family except for that one part of it. How do you have a family gathering and disinvite the member that is always disruptive? Every year, you try to give them an opportunity, and every year they come and make a mess of everything. And you don't want to not invite the whole family. You just want that one person not to come. What do you do about that? Can you tell a person, you're all invited, but please tell your spouse to stay home? Is that possible? Brother Kareem, is that possible to do that and not offend the person who's married to the troublemaker?
You know, it's best to be honest. You know, for real, honesty is the best policy. You know, I love you. Your husband, he gets drunk and he wants to fight everyone or whatever, or he uses very offensive language around our children and family, stuff like that. That's, you know, and the one that's causing that type of a problem to try to reach them, you know. But you don't want to invite trouble when you know a thing is trouble. Then, you know, why invite trouble to an area that you want to establish peace at? It's just that simple. But speak with that person's spouse, or even they may not even have a spouse. They may be single. But just love chaos, love drama.
Yeah.
I must say, don't invite them. And if they ask why, tell them. You know, time you show up, you ruin every occasion that we have. Now you have to change, man. Otherwise, I'm telling you right now, you are not invited. You have to change your behavior. And if you love us, you do that. We have a caller here on the AM 360 board.
Oh,
if
yes.
You are ready
the open mic. You want to get their thoughts. Yes.
Okay, this is Bilal, the poet laureate of American Muslim 360.
Oh, wonderful.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you, Bilal.
Wa alaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah. Glad to hear you again. I call you the ambassador, sister ambassador, and professor.
Good to hear your voice as well.
Yeah, Alhamdulillah. What I'm going to do with this poem for you, I'm going to show you this is what I've been on maybe for the last 6 years. And then I say a little something. This poem would get to show you the cause and effect of the environment, my behavior. Just relax my name. New Orleans, Louisiana, one of the worst places in America. Very much in need of our intelligentsia. Another roll of the dice. You can easily lose your life. A gun is the way they fight. Gambling people. Gambling with people help. It's all about wealth. They won't get the believers share. A pandemic, they don't care. Conventions and all kind of festivals. There are no precautions. They are not thinking rational. Spending a lot of money at the casinos. Mardi Gras, bringing more debt, sickness to the town. People are ready to get down. Their souls and minds are disturbed. Coming from different parts of the world. They thought about keeping God first, pardoning at his voice. No shame in their game. The genocide of them must be tamed. Sport and play, what are they bringing to the grave? An illusion. Some people thinking that they are safe. Their common sense is dead. Many are afraid. The criminals are having a field day. No pity in the Crescent City. And that's, so I'm affected by, I'm in the house with, two of my sisters, my nephew, and his daughter, and a two-year-old baby. And leave me. It's no rest. I'm thinking about 360 American 360 CWSC. That's been my peace of mind all the time since I had since I heard about AM 360. I called up for that first day. And I'm thinking to a lot, this family right here on the phone, y'all have grown me up, and I need y'all, and I appreciate y'all. So praise be to Allah. Yeah, I got off on a brother a couple of days ago on the telephone, maybe a week ago. And I went on, later on, I apologized to him yesterday, because I had apologized to the people for him, and then I apologized yesterday. And it felt good because I even wrote a poem concerning that. See, I got that behavior of, I think it's the one like a tendency to want to control something and be in control. And then I find myself, I got to go back to the part of my soul that deal with Abraham. And I said, well, I want to be like Abraham. So I got a bad tendency in me to go towards that other soul. And I get myself in a lot of trouble. So praise be to Allah that at least I will keep on, you know, trying. When I make a mistake, I talk to my mentors and they tell me how I should, you know, deal with it. And it came out all right. So praise be to Allah and alhamdulillah. I think I need to read more poems and actually keep my mouth shut. As soon as I get through that song with my mouth, my internet gets me in trouble. So praise be to Allah and alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum
assalam. We appreciate your gift, definitely. Yes. You know, it's always it's challenging when you deal with a person with a certain kind of personality. There are people who they may be stone cold sober, and yet they're verbally abusive, or, you know, like your associate wanting to control things or say whatever they want to say, no matter if it's insulting or offensive. Like you mentioned, Brother Kareem, the foul-mouthed person who's oblivious to the fact that their conversation and their speech is inappropriate for children to hear. And you know, I've experienced where there was a person like that that would not control themselves. And, you know, when it was brought to their attention that their speech was offensive, they said, well, I just speak my mind. I'm just real, you know, and not realizing that being rude is inappropriate. Being vulgar is inappropriate. You don't want to have that kind of a personality at your family gatherings where you want there to be a certain atmosphere of peace, and they don't seem to understand that they're disrupting the peace, and they refuse to accept any type of a correction or reminder or reprimand. They just, you know, so arrogant and full of themselves, they don't care. It's very difficult when you have that kind of a personality in the family, and and very few people have the ability to stand up to them because they're so verbally abusive, people just avoid confrontation, and yet their presence is so unpleasant. So it's almost like, you know, being bullied, where you have that kind of a personality. They're very unpleasant, and the things they say are offensive, but a lot of people in the family are afraid to say something. And it's difficult if you have that kind of a personality in the family, especially if they're maybe like an elder. You know, you can't say anything, and yet everybody is uncomfortable in their presence. So how do you handle the family bully? Do you get together and say, look, we got to talk to you? I mean, how do you handle that person everybody's scared of?
You know, someone has to stand up and speak boldly to truth. And that is what God-fearing people do. They fear nothing but a displeasure of Almighty God. We don't fear men. We don't fear circumstances and situations. The idea is to please our Creator. And Almighty God has said to us through our beloved Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, when you see your brother in the wrong, help him. When that statement was made, the prophet was asked, how can we help our brother in the wrong? He says, you should hold him back from the wrong. Hold him back from the wrong. There are ways of doing it. Speak to him. Speak to him. When he is, don't allow him to continue to be wrong and commit the wrong, and you not say anything. You are not helping him. You're not helping him. So you should hold him back from the wrong. Now, and you are so correct. People always say, well, I'm just being me. I'm just being me. I don't care. Well, you can be you. You can be you all by yourself.
All by yourself. You can't be you over here.
Thank you. You cannot be you all over me or all over us. Just go be you. But you can't be you all over us. It's just that simple. There was a punishment in years gone by, when the human being functioned in a tribal society, and the community worked together as one to function as a community, and everyone's survival was based upon the part that everyone played, a part of cooperation.
Yes.
Your very survival, your life depended on that. Now, there was a a sentence that can be levied on you, and that sentence was banishment.
Yes. You can't.
And
you can't cooperate.
Being
you
banished.
Leave. Yes.
Yeah, they fear being put out of a tribe because their very survival depended.
Yeah.
On everyone. Right.
Being part of the group. So now that was a good control system, in the sense that you can't make it by yourself. So you better learn how to get along with people. Unfortunately, people are very individualized now. So it's like, well, I don't need you. So since I don't need you, I can be rude to you. I can be nasty to you. I can be hurtful to you because I don't need you. And it's unfortunate that people have that attitude. So they don't have an incentive to be nice. They don't have an incentive to be kind. They don't have an incentive to be cooperative because they think they don't need people. And how do you handle people who have that attitude? We got a couple of comments here. Let me share some of our Facebook comments. And Deborah from Move Around with Deborah, our third Saturday host, joined us. She says, Grand Rising, if it is repetitive, disruptive situation, they know it's a problem. If you continue to invite them, you are encouraging the disruption. Yeah, that's right. You know, it's just like a child at school that keeps acting up. They know they're acting up, you know, and you keep letting it happen. Eventually, you have to put them out of the classroom or something, because otherwise there's no consequences. And she says, don't invite them until they can show a change in their personality. Now, that makes a lot of sense. Okay, when you can show that you have stopped fighting, you stop cussing people out, you stop drinking or smoking weed and whatever you're doing that's offensive, you know, and you come and disrupt, you can show a change, then you can come. She said, it's okay if you're speaking your mind, but you'll do it elsewhere. That's right. People who say, well, I just speak my mind. Okay,
that's right.
You ain't gonna see it here, though. Uh-huh. we don't want to hear your mind. You can speak your mind
in
your house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is the thing. But that's the challenge. You know, when people become adults, they do what they want to do. It's one thing when you can correct a child, or you look for a parent to correct the child. But when people get grown, they do whatever they want to do. And if there are no consequences, you know, such as banishment, okay, you ain't not inviting you because you don't know how to act. If there are no consequences, they will not change. But now that's another thing. How do you deal with people who have children that they will not or cannot correct, that come and tear up your house, break up your stuff, and the parents are oblivious? Have you ever had that situation? We all know, you know, the baby's kids type. How do you deal with people who will not control their children and do not want you to control their children? And I'm not saying you got to beat the children. You know, I don't need you to break up my nice lamp and then get a beating afterwards. I want you to not break the lamp in the first place. You know, beating is not going to fix what's broken. So how do you deal with those relatives that have those children that they have not taught proper household etiquette, and maybe even the children whose speech is inappropriate, you know, folks who roll out them cuss words, you know, like it's like eating ice cream, you know, and do that without blinking my eyes. I don't even notice it. Oh, what's wrong? Why is everybody looking at me like that? What did you just say? You know, people whose children have been raised to think it's okay to use foul language and say vulgar things because maybe that's what they hear at home, but maybe you don't want it in your home. So do you tell those people, look, you can't bring your children because they're out of order? I mean, how do you handle that?
Just like you just said, you know. just like you just said, speak with their parents. You know, that is just that simple. Your children are out of order. And until you give them some standards, we have family standards here. We have family standards. And your children, evidently you and your children are not living up to our family standards. Until you can demonstrate that you have control over your children, I will not let them come in and tear up my house. This is my home. You know, that's we have to have the courage to speak to what needs to be spoken to.
Say it, yeah.
That's all. You know, we always come up. Well, I don't want so and so to feel bad. Yeah,
yes.
But they got their finger stuck in your eye. You know,
yes.
Get your finger out of my eye. Get your finger out of my eye. I'm not going to tolerate that because I don't want you to feel bad. Get your finger out of my eye. I'm letting you know. I don't like it. Yeah. But you are being tortured. You're tolerating.
Yeah.
Substandard behavior. No. This is your home, is to be respected. That is your castle. That's your palace. You know, you wouldn't invite an untamed bear around your silverware. You know. So yes, speak to those parents. Remind the parents of their obligation and their responsibility to teach their children right behavior. We are obligated to do that, to teach our children moral and right behavior. They are a reflection, I can remember, where we all can, of my age. My mother would say, now look, we are going over to I Carrie's house. I don't want you doing such and such a thing. I don't want you, don't touch nothing. Blah, blah. You know, we were instructed. And we, you know, don't get me out and embarrass me like you don't have home training.
Yeah, you know, you had to talk before you leave the house. Don't you embarrass me. I said, yeah.
That's right. A lot of our problem is parenting. Most parents now are they are afraid of their children. They are afraid of their children. It has got so bad whereby they fear to even correct their children. If we start off right, we'll end up right.
Yeah.
You know, you are responsible. You are a reflection of me. Now, don't you get over there and embarrass me. You know, it's just that simple. So no, you speak to those children's parents and let them know exactly what the problem is. And it's up to them to correct that. Not you snapping a child up. Well, a child is only doing what is allowed and what has been demonstrated in front of them. They are victims of poor parents.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you see the parents, like you say, the parents act like they're afraid to say anything. You know, it's like, wait a minute. If you don't say something, somebody better say something for the child. Who's supposed to correct the child? Now, they don't self-correct.
Law enforcement will.
Yeah.
Law enforcement
will. Yeah, that's what ends up happening.
Will.
Right. Well, that's a whole nother thing. Well, let's take a look at it. We got to take our last break, but let's take a look at that when we come back. When children are in a family setting, there has to be some family standards that all the children should learn. So what are they learning at these family gatherings? What are they observing that's going to shape them? Are they seeing, you know, the foul-mouthed aunt? Are they seeing the drunk uncle? Are they seeing the fighting couples? You know, what are they seeing that are teaching them standards of behavior that they should be expected to live up to as adults? What are we really showing them at these gatherings? But we'll talk about that when we get back. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 when you're ready to speak. We definitely want to hear your thoughts. If you're on our switchboard now, we want to hear your thoughts. Don't wait until 2 minutes before it's time for the show to end and then want to press 1 because we won't have time to hear from you. So we're going to take your call, 706-202, when we come back from this last break.
And 727-400 here on the AM
360
board. We should open your mic after this.
All right. They can stay. Don't stray away. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. And in case you didn't notice the resemblance, we're also three sisters.
We're going to be coming to you every week, sharing our successes and our mistakes as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and of course, black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all. Race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not to use corporal punishment to how do you teach your children about sex. Look for our upcoming book, Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about our lives growing up in Maple Park on Chicago's South Side. I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. Follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch the Media Connection.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world. Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibration. Shalom.
Back, you're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. I'm Naima Latif, along with our co-host Kareem Hamid and our American Muslim 360 family listening on AM 360 Blog Talk channel. And we appreciate all of you who listen in and watch us every day, Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern, and, of course, adjust your time wherever you are in the world to join us live. And, of course, Saturdays, 12 noon to 2 p.m., and Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central. And we always have such wonderful topics of discussion to help us become better people, to raise our consciousness, to help us solve our problems and work together. Well, this is that holiday season where a lot of families are gathering together. And this is when we most see our dysfunction. This is when it becomes exposed, when the families come together. And we're teaching our children, whether we realize or not, we are teaching them how to behave, how to interact, how to cooperate, how to resolve issues, how to organize. We're teaching them through these family gatherings. So whatever dysfunction we have, we're teaching them that also. And one of the things, you know, of course, we look at, well, how do you deal with it when, you know, relations are strained, maybe there's breakups, part of the family is invited, the other family's not, and now the in-laws are now the outlaws.
Unmuted.
You know, these people got divorced and that person got divorced. So you got all these things happening that address the family dynamics. But one of the things, the children see everything. They see what happens in their own house, and they will bring what happens to their house to your house if you're the hosting family for the gathering. So it's really, we say it takes a village to raise a child. It's really the collective family's responsibility to raise our children. But what do we teach them at these family gatherings? What do they observe us doing? What memories are they taking away? Because that's your memories are what shapes the rest of your life as a child. So what if you've got that memory of the fight that breaks out every year because, you know, the drunk uncle or aunt has to verbally abuse people and say nasty things and pick a fight, and then somebody starts hitting somebody, and then, you know, the police ends up getting called in, and you've made a spectacle on the block where you live because, you know, every year you have this drama going. What are you teaching your children when they see that? And what do you teach your children if they listen, you sit around and gossip about the person who's not there, maybe who used to be in the family, maybe who has a problem, and, you know, you talk about them like a dog because they're absent. What are you teaching the children? What are you teaching the children if nobody really talks to anybody? You have a family gathering, and then, you know, all the young people are into their cell phones, and then everybody else is into the TV, and there is no conversation. What are you teaching them about communication? What are you teaching them with these family gatherings? So, Kareem, do you think that there are guidelines that people should perhaps be taught when it comes to how to use these family gatherings as teaching tools for correct cultural behavior? Or do we just let it fall where it may? You know, I mean, I'm one of those people for, you know, instructions and lists and, you know, organization. And, you know, do you think it would be appropriate for a person who perhaps is hosting the gathering to have a list of do's and don'ts that they actually send out, you know, along with the invitation of this is when the dinner is and, you know, this is what you bring or whatever, or this is what the menu is. Along with that, having a list of do's and don'ts for all the members, would that be offensive or would that be helpful?
Well, you know, for a lot of social gatherings, there is an itinerary in a lot of cases that accompanies the invitation. There's nothing wrong with putting a friendly reminder to for the parents to take some control of of their children, you know.
Friendly reminder.
You don't have to list out all the things, but a reminder, you know.
Yes.
There's nothing wrong with that, yes.
Right. Please don't have your children put their muddy feet on my couch. Take your shoes off first, you know.
No running through.
Whatever they break, you will pay for.
Yes.
So if you cannot control them, have your checkbook ready.
That's right.
I mean, you know, I think there does need to be some protocol that should be stated. There will be no playing of music that contains vulgarities or, you know, inappropriate language. Because, you know, I've seen that.
Yeah.
People will be having a family gathering, little children, and, you know, you got music blasting with the F word going all. I'm like, wait a minute, y'all don't hear that?
Nobody's saying that.
Nobody's saying
that. Naima, we have a person here on the board.
Oh, yes. Let me take your call, and then we'll go to our call. Oh, we got two now. Okay, so we'll take your call, and then we'll take 706 and 813. Go right ahead. Open the mic.
All right. Error code 727-400. Please state your name and where you're calling from. Martha Nyla Abdullah.
Yes, it is. Assalamu alaikum to you, Dr. Naima Latif, Anima Kareem Hamid, and all the listeners. Martha Nyla calling from St. Petersburg, Florida, / Clearwater, Florida. And you know, as you all were speaking, I know all the situations, and I won't dare speak of them right now, but the primary one is when you invite someone into your home, and they say, no, because you all want me to take my shoes off, and I don't want to take my shoes off. And we go, okay. And it's family members. And you go, okay. So we say nothing. We just say nothing.
Yeah,
and
like the rule
is. And they come to the door or sit in their car and just talk with you, and then they leave. So praise be to Almighty God. That's just how we handled it. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, it comes a lot. You know, I appreciate your sharing that because we've had that issue. And, you know, some people say, well, it's hard for me to get my shoes back on. Okay, then wear some looser shoes. You know, wear some shoes that slip on and off. You know, I mean, you're not going to make me change the protocol in my house. You know, this is what we do in my house now. You know, make it possible so that you can do this. But you know, you will have people like that, and I don't know why that is. People just feel like I'm not going to let you make me take my shoes off. But this is my home, and I'm preferring that you not carry outside dirt onto my clean rug. I'm just preferring that not. This is our way, and there are a lot of countries where that's the protocol. So yeah, I've dealt with that. And people who just, okay, fine, get out in your car.
And I must say, too, let me add this. In the medical profession, when we went into homes, if those that was the practice, you know what they would do? They would give us those slip-over covers.
Yeah.
To protect. And if you provide that, we tried that, too. But no, it was just a matter of doing something that they didn't want to do. So praise be to God.
I mean, that is an option because I've seen that done too. You know, they just hand you the cover, the shoe covers, and that's a way to handle it for people who, for whatever reason. Because I have some people do that. Well, my feet swell, I can't get my shoes back on if I take them off. Okay, that's another issue you probably need to deal with. But okay, yeah. So yeah, that's a possibility. So let me open the mic for area code 706-202. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your thoughts.
Assalamu alaikum, Sister Naima and Kareem, Brother
yes,
Kareem.
Yes, alaikum salam.
This is Brother Kwame. I sit here in the stolen land of the Muscogee Creek in Eatonton, Georgia. Excellent topic. You know, there's an ancestor that said, whosoever educates your children controls your future. And we see our future because you made the statement saying it takes a village to raise a child. Well, what does it take to make a village? Mm-hmm. It takes responsible mothers and fathers. to see aunties and uncles, brothers and sisters, to be able to see how that we follow certain guidelines. But what we have, too, is a challenge, because how is it that we only do Easter, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and then we party like it's 1995 come New Year's Eve? We still have family functions. We still, those people are still our families. Why don't we have a communal gathering? You know, the 26th begins Kwanzaa. There's principles in which Kwanzaa gives to guide you for the rest of the year. And you start out by number one is unity, teaching us how to unite, how to be family, not just on holidays, but we're family every day we get up. And how is it that we choose to say when we want to see each other, when we need to be directing or helping to say, okay, you got a problem with your children, bring them over here so they can see something different. Because there has to be guidance, because in their agenda, see, they've got an agenda, and what their agenda is that they've taken that agenda, 21 or whichever agenda you want to look at, they changed the language, and we began to speak the language and taking that language, we began to live that agenda. So we've got to look at what was the agenda that gave us guidance of the four important things is to have values, morals, respect, and ethics. Those were four things that we got in our era as baby boomers from those people that came out of the captivity of the South and the other eras, that they were responsible. You don't embarrass me when you go out this house, and you don't bring that that garbage into my house. See, there has to be a control. There has to be a control gauge. And we are the gauge. We're looking at someone else to fix. See, it's easier to fix a broken child than to fix a broken adult. That child is only reflecting that person that gave them guidance, and they're misguided.
That's true.
And if we want to be am I my brother's keeper, then we have to begin to be responsible for that child. It's not its fault it has a parent that has a destructive. It's not its fault that music plays that has vulgarity in it. It's not its fault that you give it no grandma's lap time, but you give it a laptop. And it sees and hears everything that the media puts in the language to fulfill their agenda. The destruction of a nation begins in the home. And the home, is where the heart is.
Yes, I definitely agree. And we like to blame children for their behavior, but they learned it from somewhere. You know, people didn't come from outer space and program them. They learned all of this from the people who raised them and what they exposed them to. And I agree, we have to do more of interaction. And if you're an elder and you've got some wisdom, if the parents will allow it to be shared, then, you know, I think it's good to, like you say, offer to let them spend some time in your home. I think sometimes the elders don't want to be bothered, and so they don't. And that's why we got this gap
laptop
between the generations. Deborah says, I believe having a list and direction would be very helpful. You have an itinerary and recipe for all successful events and meals. I think that's something to consider. If you're going to be the host family, is to have some guidelines, like, you know, no foul music or, you know, whatever the case may be. We take our shoes off if that's your practice. You know, I mean, all these whatever things, you know, that you want people to know ahead of time. And if you got a non-alcoholic environment, like, look, don't come here drunk. Don't bring no liquor. We're not drinking. You know, and that's another hard thing when you have some people who drink and some who don't. And can you come to a gathering if you're a non-drinker and you know that at a certain time people are going to be inebriated and the behavior will change? How do you handle that? Because my husband and I, we used to just, you know, we come to family gatherings. As soon as people start, you know, we start seeing the effects of alcohol, we go, it's time for us to go. I'm just seeing everybody.
you know, we leave before the ignorant oil kicks in, because we know what's going to happen. And that's the standard we set for our daughter. You know, yeah, okay, you can't stop people from drinking. You go into their house to do what they do, but you don't have to be there in that environment when they're other than themselves. So that's always an issue. So, Brother Kwame, we appreciate you, as always, for sharing wisdom. I think we can squeeze in another caller before it's time to go. And let me know if you've got another caller on your switchboard, Kareem. And we've got 813-646, Grand Rising. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your thoughts.
L.A., Central Florida.
Hey, L.A.
As for me.
Hey, L.A.
How you doing, Kareem? As for me, now, just from my observations and, I guess, personal experiences that I've observed, and it's really on a case-by-case basis, but overall, I wouldn't attend any family functions with an ex. I know of a case right now where the guy had, and the first thing, in 2022 going into 2023, there's a lot of parents and a lot of grandparents who are players.
Ooh.
And one example is, I know of a guy, he's got four kids by one woman. He's still married. Or he's divorced from that particular wife. But then with his current wife, they're separated, but he's got a new living girlfriend that he's got a baby by. And his wife lives in another country, and she's pregnant by somebody else. And he's got two more kids. I mean, at least, no, one more kid by another woman. So, for my taste, this is just me, not passing to it. To me, that looks like it's a potential toxic situation. And it, in my opinion, I'm not a mind reader, it could erode your credibility as a parent. You can't say do this, that, or the other, and you're a player. So I have a tendency to shy away from people who have kids. That's just me. I'll land my plane there.
That's interesting. Well, you know, L.A. brought up another issue. How do you deal with the person who has a relationship that's undefined? And maybe every gathering they bring somebody different into your household. Do you just say, well, that's their business, whoever, you know, comes, that's them? You know, maybe they got the live-in girlfriend, maybe they got the ex, maybe they got the ex-ex, maybe they got, you know, the mother of the you know, the baby mama. Maybe they, I mean, you got all these different relationships. And, you know, does the family choose to not attach themselves to anybody in that person's life because their relationships are so transient?
Case by case. It's a case-by-case, family-by-family situation. All I know is like, it. I mean, these days, you have there's a lot of parents and grandparents who are players, and they don't care who knows. Children, grandchildren, they don't care who knows. So, but that's them. So I just know for me, I don't want to be a part of any potential toxic situation. I just, you know, I'll stay in the friend zone and show up. I won't show up at any family function.
Wow. Well, all right. Well, L.A., we thank you so much for your input, as always. An interesting point of view. Some people, that's how they prefer it. They'd rather just not come, not be a part of drama, especially if there always is some, or if they don't want people judging their personal life. You know, it might be in between relationships or in a temporary relationship. You know, maybe it's just a companion for the weekend kind of relationship. I don't know. So, Kareem, what do you think? The relative who has the person who's undefined, do they get to, you know, okay, come and bring a guest, you know, we don't care what your relationship is, that's your business? Or it's like, well, you know, we don't know who that is, don't be bringing no strangers in this house, or, you know, some random guy or girl, you know, I don't know. And I mean, do you have requirements for who can bring, you know, what kind of guest someone can bring if it's someone that maybe they're not that serious with, therefore, you know, their behavior may not be manageable or something you can, you know, give guidelines for?
Well, you know, for the playboy parent or grandparent or, you know, I would not refuse to invite them. You know, I wouldn't. They can bring their guest with them, and I will welcome their guest, and I'm obligated to graciously serve them as a host in my home, whoever it is. You know, I'm responsible for that. But if that's a concern to you, and this is a family member, then you can privately speak with them and ask them, you know, when are you going to settle down and start a family? You know, these are questions that family members used to ask one another.
Yeah, yeah.
Son, when are you going to settle down and start a family? You know, nephew, when are you going to start a family? These are, and it shouldn't be done publicly, I don't think, to, you know, embarrass them. But if that is your concern, then I believe you have a right to pull them back to it, at least speak to it, you know,
yeah,
and put the onus on them. When will you begin a stable family?
Yeah.
That's what I would do.
And I think that's reasonable.
From my home.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable, and here's why. You know, some people might say, well, it's nobody's business, but really, anytime you're bringing someone around your family, especially if they're children, they need to have some type of a responsibility. You know, I mean, you can't, like, for women who want to have various boyfriends that they want to bring around. You know, and you know that your siblings have children, and, you know, you can't bring the boyfriend that might molest the children, you know, traumatize people for life because you don't, you know, you just want to be with somebody, but you're not serious or you haven't really properly vetted them to see if they're someone who you can trust around your family. Because whoever you bring around the family, your family is trusting you to have gauged their character. What kind of person is this? Is this somebody who's going to, you know, case the house and then, you know, have his boys come back and steal the TV set after that, y'all go, you know, out for dinner or something because they know where all your valuables are? I mean, really, you know, you have to be responsible for who you bring around your family because you are affecting the family. And that's part of being in a family, is that responsibility. If you're going to bring someone into your home or into someone else's home, you need to make sure that they are respectful of who you are and who your family is, because that's what you're teaching your children ultimately. So it's time to go. We thank you so much, Kareem, and all of you who've listened in and joined in. We want to say happy holidays. Enjoy your family gatherings. And use it as a time to teach and a time to demonstrate love and a time to bond. And remember, you can get together more than just on holidays. See you next time.
We've come to the end of our show today. But you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show.
You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimahlatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Sheshe. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Jeong Kunyong. France, Merci. Spain, Gracias. Italy, Grazie. Egypt, Shukran. Ghana, Medasi. Nigeria, Eshe. South Africa, Ngiyabonga. Senegal, Jared. Kenya, Asante. Israel, Toda. Pakistan, Shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakur. Saudi Arabia, Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you, and may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessing.